Hi, this is the Social Jello with Angelo show. My name's Angelo. I'm a social scientist, surfer, martial artist, and a whole lot of other things. Coming to you live from Kasai City, Japan, the Social Jello with Angelo show.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Social Jello with Angelo podcast. Today I am here. You saw the title. Kata versus Bullshido. Let's just get this started real quick. Here's something I want to show you. So when I think of kata, this is what I'm kind of thinking of. Like when I'm thinking of kata, this is what comes to mind for me. All right, look at this cute little girl. There she goes. There she is. Got a nice little blue belt on. She's getting her position. Look how clean that is. That's pretty cool. I don't mind that. I have no problem with this. That's nice. All right? There we go. She's focused. She's pretty young. She's probably my daughter's age, probably like 8 years old or something. Balance, technique. That's cool. I actually have no problem with this. Unfortunately, when most young adults come in, they want to do MMA, first of all. And then second of all, when they think of kata, they think of this. That's what they see. This is what they're thinking it is. Right? There's a weird connection between kata and someone who does something like this.
Right.
And I think that's our biggest problem right there. It's immediately connected to... Look, there's three other guys that are doing some weird... I don't know. I could probably add like a rave track. And it'd probably go... let's just get that out of the way. We're going to start this right there. That's our intro. This is the problem. This is the issue. Is we have this really legitimate thing that's happening on the side over here. And then we have that. And a lot of that. There's a lot of bullshito. And kata tends to be an avenue that these frauds like to go to. And if anybody's watching, if there's any like really high up there in martial arts, you know, whatever your title is, if you're one of those people, one of those leaders in martial arts and you're watching this podcast, what I hopefully can get through to some of you is the general public, that's what they're thinking. Now, we know that's not the case. We all come from the background. So if you've kept up with this long so far, for you young adults that do feel that way, hey, no, all kata is that uns. That's all we see. Let's break down who we are. My name is Angelo Ferrer. I'm a black belt in Kajikembo, also an MMA coach. This is Mickey Lopez. He is a boxing coach coming out of DeSalle Boxing Academy out in the South area and also a Kajikembo instructor. And we also have Claude Lawson, who's got a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and is also a Kajikembo instructor. So we are what we would define as mixed martial artists and mixed martial arts instructors. Now, we're going to open up the floor now and start talking about this subject, right? Is kata an avenue for bullshito? Why are young adults feeling this way? And I'm just going to grab that question, this loaded question, and hand it off to Claude because he's smiling the most. Mickey.
Oh, man. God, this has been going on for a long, long period of time, and I know it's been talked about forever. Let's start with traditional forms or katas. What we saw at the beginning of this was a young lady doing a traditional type, like Japanese form is what it looked like to me. Purpose, strong, and great exercise, showing technical skill, all that you saw in the video. The second part that you showed was, I know what it's called. It's called the dead style. And I've seen it for years and it's horrible and it serves no purpose. And I don't even know if the instructor even knows that what he's doing. I'll just leave it at that. But forms, practical use as far as fighting, it doesn't necessarily have any. It's a great exercise. You can practice techniques that you can use within a form, manner or platform in pieces to practice certain things that are certain techniques that you wanna, I don't know, just flow and have it. If you're out there in the woods somewhere or you're in your backyard and you wanna work through a technique, it's nothing different, not much different than doing shadow boxing, but you have to do it with purpose. It has to have an end goal to it. But yeah, there's a lot of bullshito out there and people doing a lot of forms and things like that. And I'm sure we'll get into more of this because I do have some things to say about Because I know a lot of this may have come from Kung Fu forms and things like that, where they see certain eagle and animal techniques and all that good stuff. And I think the meaning behind some of that stuff or what its purpose was has been lost over time. That's my little piece on that. I'm sure we'll get a little deeper.
All right. So, Mickey, what are your thoughts on that first
Yeah,
question?
I'm gonna kind of piggyback off Claude. I mean, again, when I first started off in the martial arts, I started off in Kuksul, and we had to do forms. And I think to me, not knowing what martial arts like really was, I didn't know what I wanted in the martial arts. So he was showing me these forms when I first started out. And I go, okay, this is great. I was getting in good shape. A nice football kick that could work maybe again, but coming from an athletic background, playing a lot of basketball prior to martial arts, we ran the same things without a ball, with a partner. And then you know what? It's great for, like you said, Angelo, balance and getting the right technique down. Now, Bushido and that guy. You know what? I'll tell you what. It reminds me of the Piper system a little bit. If you ever seen the Piper system, it looks kind of awkward, but to this guy, it's like totally natural. You know what I mean? So again, I really think if you see this guy walking down the street and he starts doing some weird Bushido stuff and it throws you off, it might work. It might work because you're not used to that, but he is used to that. And I actually think that's the only thing that I can see. Is it Bushido? That it could be. It again, it's like capoeira. You gotta disguise your kicks and whatnot. And I know some capoeira guys, if they freaking do a jing on you and they kick you, you're gonna be done though. You know what I mean? But again, I think I man, you know what? It all depends on the practitioner. It really does. That's my opinion. And at Claude, being a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, the rubber guard and Eddie Bravo style was a little awkward towards the Brazilian jiu-jitsu community. I didn't like that, but then again, it's they started winning with it, and then they got to understand it. So I think if you understand Bushido and his method behind it, then maybe, but yeah, just watching it is really awkward. But again, to him, it's like the best thing since chocolate chip cookies, but and that's my two cents. How's that?
I like how Vicky's looking for the silver lining in all of this. That's all I want to hear.
My God.
You found the positive.
You know what? I did animal kung fu and monkey kung fu before, and yeah, I did that. My intuition, I didn't like that stuff. But again, I'm trying to find the purpose of it, and I eventually start. I quit. Then I met my college chemical instructor, Ron Esteller, and that's a whole another podcast. But we'll talk about that.
So before Mickey gets himself in trouble, now what we can stop it right there. I'm gonna
It's a
save
bad dude.
it. So when you look, you mentioned a few things here. So y'all mentioned Kung Fu for a second there, and I think that's really true. Like if you look, I could grab Sistema. What we just saw was called Russian Sistema, by the way. That video is there's a Russian Sistema guy. I can grab that, and I can grab a Kung Fu form, and I can probably see movements that would have me scratching my head the same way. And it's interesting. This also brings it back to another video, and what we're going to show right now of the MMA fighter in China, who's a Chinese guy, who's been challenging Kung Fu masters, right? And so, like, if you haven't heard of it, I'm sure that's plenty. And here's an example. Here's a nice Kung Fu master. He's got his Kung Fu shirt on, and here's the MMA guy, and it's done. That's it. The guy's getting knocked out. He's mounted. Boom, 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 boom. Finished. And he does this to people over and over. And the interesting thing is that these Kung Fu masters are taking him up on his challenge, and they end up they and they're old. Like that guy he just beat up, he's in like in his 20s, and the guy he just beat up is like in his 50s. And these like 60, 50-year-olds, are signing up to fight this guy because they really do. Like, we, us as the public, look at this and we're like, hey, that's Bullshito. Hey, that won't work in a real fight. But, oh, this guy's a fraud. He's trying to fake you out. This guy's fucking with you and he's trying to suck in money and he's trying to lie to you. But I always say the biggest lie you can ever say to anyone is when you lie to yourself.
Right. And
guys are lying to themselves. That's really what it is. We can say they're a fraud. And this is the psychology element of my show. We can say they're a fraud from the outsider in. No, this person's a fraud. He's a fraud. He's trying to trick you into learning something that does not work. He's taking advantage of you. He's taking advantage of the martial arts community. But even deeper than that, he would only be a fraud if he himself knew that he was a fraud. A snake oil salesman knows that the medicine is not going to work. Right. They know that. Oil is snake oil, and there is no such thing as snake oil. And they know they just grab some olive oil and put it in that bottle. They did it. They know that. But the difference here is that these people don't know that. They really do believe that what they do would work, which is why Kung Fu After. If you don't know who this guy is, just Google it. MMA fighter challenging Kung Fu masters, and there's a bunch of videos. It's not just one fluke. It's like this guy's already. I don't know how many old men China's gonna let him abuse of in a ring.
He beat up quite a few.
I'm sure there's obviously their fight sanctions are much different than the US. But they're allowing this to happen so you can see the documentation of these people who truly believe that what they do, which looks very similar to the Russian system, something that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, they really do believe it's gonna beat a younger MMA fighter. So this is where I say it's not going off piggybacking off of what Mickey just said about Bullshito, about how, hey, this guy moves like that. Again, not just if they move like that, it would work, or maybe it won't work, but they really do believe it will work. And I think that's a deeper part of dissecting, because not only are we dissecting what Kata is, but we're also dissecting what Bullshito is. So right. So I'm just going to grab that thought and hand it over back to Klopp.
So what I was talking about earlier with the kung fu techniques and forms and such, a lot of that stuff was brought in for exercise. The beginnings of it for exercise, strengthening the body, different movements, became fighting arts as the body, you know, got stronger and you were able to use some of those things. The long flowing techniques in a right now in your face fight is it's gonna get you hurt. And as you see a lot of those videos, like the guy who the MMA fighter fighting the Kung Fu masters, they're trying to use that long technique when someone's coming at you direct with strikes. And that's just not gonna work. It may work on the layperson that doesn't know anything, that's coming at you with a wild bolo punch or something like that, and you can pull off a tiger claw and a elbow strike to the chin or something like that, and the effect may be, you know, you get a knockout. But if you get somebody who's boxing or even a jiu-jitsu guy or what have you, street fighter, you're going to get a 4 or 5 punches to the face. I'm of the of the mindset that, yeah, you can practice all those things with the realization that it's exercise for the most part. But you have to practice. If you're trying to make it seem like it's a martial art, some type of fighting art, that you have to put some practical application behind it in some way, shape, or form. When you're looking at Bullshito, like you said, Angelo, they know it doesn't work. When some of these instructors teaching Bullshito, they know it doesn't work, and they're teaching it as if it does. And certain things that it does, that these techniques are going to work in a combat situation or even a self-defense situation. We know those two things are different. And it's doing people a disservice. Anytime you see something where it looks flowery and pretty, that's great. If you love it for the art, that's wonderful. But in a confrontation fights are awkward and they're brutal and it's fast and it happens now. I don't think Bullshito has any place in actual combat. but exercise and strengthening the body, absolutely. That's what I see with that.
All right. How about you, Mickey? What you got to say?
All right. So I'm not going to say his name, but there was a world-renowned knockout pressure point guy. And there was a journalist that came by and wanted to try it. And like back to that snake oil guy, and he tried to do this. And he goes, hey, yeah. I don't feel anything. It's not working. And he's like, well, you didn't believe in it. I'm like, you know, okay. And here's the thing with those Bushido guys. They have a group of students that tell them to make me look good. You know what I mean? So they say, hey, I'm going to hit you from 10 feet away, and you're going to fall in and dance around and do some crazy stuff. And then you get this, the new generation of like MMA guys that be like, look, that shit doesn't work. And I'm going to show you doesn't work. I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to put you on blast in front of this social media era and make you look stupid. But you know what? It's also, again, as a martial artist, you know what really works, and you know what's really exercise. You know, we're all athletes, and if I right now, and this is coming up with a lot of athletes, is that straight. I mean, even if that, you know, like that's just it. I really think, you know, the kids these days have a lot more resources. They're faster. And yeah, they're a lot more mentally, like, they're going to prove it wrong because they don't want to lose the likes on Instagram and all that, right? They want to show that they're the top martial art and whatever that is. And if you truly believe that your combat style is the best, show it. And that's what the guy did. And, you know, the older gentleman, he got his ego handed to him. Like, and guess what? I'm sure after he recovered after his concussion and whatnot, he still thinks he's the best. So, you know what? You guys are stubborn, and guys always going to think that their stuff is the best until they get beat the hell up. But I guess what? It's never going to stop. You know, guys are always going to think, you know, my style is the best and this and that, regardless if you beat their ass or not. That's just their ego. I think, you know, no one hates to lose. And when your ego is bruised, it's like, you know, back in the day, I guess old Kung Fu movie is if you come beat up the instructor, you lose all your students. Right? I think that was from Ip Man somewhere. Remember that?
Ip Man, every Jet Li Kung Fu movie, every Jackie Chan movie. Yeah. Every old Bruce Lee movie, they grab the sign and sign broken.
Yeah. You know what? And then what? Is his student going to come and avenge his instructor? You're still going to get the same ass whooping. It doesn't matter, bro. You know what? So you got to come with signs with the times. And yeah, that's my take on that.
So let's get back to kata. And why didn't I start with kata? Because look, I brought this question out to the community, and a lot of people had a lot of awesome things to say, and the reason I didn't start with all that is because I'm hoping at this point I've gotten some of you younger generation guys to kind of hear this out a little bit before I go there, and then some of the other guys that were commenting on that might have are still stuck around this long for the conversation, that might feel that we're trying to say that what you're doing is bullshito. I want to get very clear. We are not saying that at all. What we're trying to get you to understand is that this is what the younger generation thinks. We don't want to become dinosaurs. We don't want to become like that guy who just got his ass kicked by some MMA guy who showed up at his gym, right? He took on the challenge and he lost like that, right? And even furthermore, if we're older, we don't want one of our students going through that either. So where does kata fit in all this? I have no problem with someone doing kata. I'll say that right now. I have no issues with it. Absolutely none. I have no problem doing kata myself. I have no problems with it. But I can understand someone who has a problem with it, if that makes any sense. I can understand why some people don't want anything to do with it. I get it. But at the same time, I enjoy it for myself. It's kind of like breakdancing. Some people like to pop and lock. Some people like to go on the floor and b-boy, right? But they're all b-boys. You don't hear b-boys being like, oh, pop locking sucks, or pop lockers saying that power moves suck. They're just two different styles to the same dance. So that's also a dance. I don't have a problem with these things. I don't have a problem with supplementing outside of practical application. I have no problem with supplementing your martial art with something else. What I do have a problem with is lying to yourself, saying that those are the basics, that that is the primary way to get to practical application. That's where I do have that's the only time I step in and say, okay, look, I understand what you're saying. It's good. It's as a meditation. It's good for your breathing. It's good for your focus. It's good for your balance. I understand all these points that all of you were saying when I posted this question on social media earlier. And a lot of really high standing members in our martial arts circles came in and brought up those valid points. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, I do have a problem if that's all. Of course, the people in our community, and I want to make that also clear. And if you haven't seen it, I always say, check out the Kaju Kembo podcast so you know what Kaju Kembo is. The people in our community, for the most part, there's always a practical application element to what we're doing. I have yet, even in all the styles of Kaju Kembo and all the Kaju Kembo guys I've interviewed, I still have yet to come across someone who has changed their Kaju Kembo so far from whatever we originally did that they're no longer doing any practical application. I've seen this in other styles, but I haven't seen it in ours yet. Maybe I'll come across it later. So that being said, I can see why some of the guys in our community get upset when I bring this up, because they kind of feel that I'm accusing them of being a part of that other community. Whatever. I don't know if there's a Bullshito community. I don't think they network, but I don't think these guys network. I don't think if I looked up the Bullshito organization, the world organization, I don't think I'm going to find one. But I don't think our martial arts community is doing that. And maybe a lot of them get offended when this conversation comes up because they feel like that's the accusation that's being brought up.
So people get stuck in traditional, and I understand traditional ways. It's you've had him on your show quite a few times, John Halkerman. He still trains in the gi, but all his training is he said he wasn't good at kata, so that's why he doesn't teach it. But no one can say his stuff isn't practical, doesn't work, and he's got the fighters to prove that it does. But I think people get stuck in being traditional to the point where it becomes detrimental to the art that they're teaching. And there's nothing wrong with teaching forms this is a personal preference, teaching so many forms that you lose the time to teach real practical application certain things. That's where it gets crazy. I teach two programs. One is traditional Kaju Kembo, old school hard style, Reyes line. And then I teach an eclectic form of Kaju Kembo, my own expression of it, that is mostly jujitsu, kickboxing. I think I teach four forms. But you can't get lost in the traditionalism. There's nothing wrong with being traditional as long as you got some things in there that are practical and useful. But kata practice cannot be the mainstay for everything that you do. It can't be the end all to beat all. It just can't. Forms, like I said, balance, strength of the body, good exercise, fast, slow, something to do when. And I don't mean this in a bad way, when you're bored or you can't, you know, just something to bide the time. You're always improving in some way. Like I think someone else brought up on a different podcast about moving meditation. Absolutely. I think that's great, you know. But it's something else has gotta come behind that, because when you get hit in the face or somebody's trying to take you down or you're in that certain situation. A kata, any kind of form in a kata is not gonna help you. Nothing you can put together on the spur of the moment that is just gonna automatically come out. You know, you fight like you practice, and if you practice, I won't say that. But if you don't, no practicality in your practice, you might get hurt.
That just reminds me of what you said there about the spiritual aspect is nice and all. If you ever saw the B cult classic, The Foot Fist Way, about a Taekwondo instructor, who, and if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's about a Taekwondo.
What's it called again?
It's called The Foot Fist Way.
No, I haven't seen it. I have to check it out.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's called you got
a cult classic.
We need to do a podcast on that.
Oh geez. So like, it's actually based off the character, the Taekwondo character from a movie called Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
And there was a scene there where the, and I'm not going to play it because there's a lot of copyrights on that. What I can do is I can share the screen for the movie that came out a long time ago in like the 90s, or it was like the early 2000s, called Fist Way. Here's the guy, black sunglasses. The guy's a character, and a lot of the stuff we talk about comes up, like a big guy beating up an old lady, all kinds of stuff. Like, it's a great movie for today's times, even though it came out in 2011. All the stuff we're talking about comes up in this movie. About this guy. So like, there's a scene in there where a girl's like, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna do Taekwondo anymore. I think I've been doing yoga and I'm having a good time with that, and I'm getting stronger and more flexible in yoga. And he looks at her, he's like, what you need is more Taekwondo. Because yoga is not gonna keep you safe from a group of guys that are trying to gang rape you. That was his comment about yoga. Right, so it's like yoga's not gonna save you in that situation. So like, and he was like, "What's Taekwondo?" Don't even get me started about the layers of bullshit in that movie. But either way, spirituality is nice, and I'm not saying that spirituality doesn't have its place, and you shouldn't shoot for that. But I always say, like, if that's what you're gonna do, then do that. Then go meditate, or go, I don't know, join a monastery, or whatever it is you want to do to find that goal. And that's a different podcast. Should that be part of the martial arts training? A lot of people would say yes, that there should be a spiritual element in your martial arts training. And what we do say yes, and I feel like there should be a spiritual element, but again, it shouldn't be the entire element, because then we would be teaching yoga. We would no longer be teaching a practical takedown into a mount. We would just, that would be right out, because our main goal has now become spirituality and not. And don't even get me started with the problems that come with that. Mickey.
Yeah. So why do we learn forms? I think we learn forms to preserve the legacy of that particular Kajikemo founder or whoever the founder is, right? So whenever you're a white belt, you want to learn about, well, what is this martial art? Where is it from? You know, this is what they used to do back in, you know, the 40s or whatever. And I'm all about the historical aspects of that. That's cool, right? But again, there's some certain things where you're dropping your hand by your hip and you're punching and doing a reverse punch. And you know what? That builds a lot of bad mechanics, because when you start going to a gym where there are a bunch of boxers or kickboxers and you try to throw a reverse punch and they block and they head kick you, or because your hand is low, that's because you did thousands of reps of dropping your hands. Now again, if you have an instructor that says, hey, this is the art part of it, don't do it this way, that's cool too. But again, I think preserving the legacy is the biggest thing I see in the forums. But now, like, I've listened to a bunch of Hackleman stuff. Once you're a black belt, you can do what the F you want to do with the art, and you have that right, which is cool. But I told my instructor, I said, hey, man, I don't mind doing the forums. And me personally, I have had trouble with it, but have it. So, you know, just as a historical book, like a textbook. And I'm not, okay, I hope that's not disrespecting, like, I'm not saying forms don't work. I'm just saying put it away, because you can refer back to it later. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's my take on that. And you know what? There's certain guys I see in the UFC and some boxers. If you look up Teofimo Lopez and you see Khalil Roundtree, there's little aspects of kata that are in there. I don't care what you say. I really don't. And then you got the Machida. I mean, look at that guy. He's practicing forms. Are you telling me his forms don't work? I mean, he made it work. So, again, if you have an athlete that understand functional forms and he could put into practice, then I think that's good. But again, I really think it depends on the practitioner, you know, understanding the certain technique that you can make it work. But again, you have to cross train, which is why I love Koj, because it doesn't limit you. You only know my style. No, well, if I want to throw this front kick or whatnot, I'm going to go train with the wrestler and see if I can pull it off. Okay, maybe that will work. Maybe that won't work. All right, cool. Go back to the lab and try it again. And again, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, just as long as you know when to pull it out of the box. Yeah, so again, there's a lot of like Andy Hoog, old school K1 kickboxer. That dude was a badass. Used to axe kick people with an axe kick. You know what I mean? Chop your freaking collarbone out, you know? And I never seen that in kickboxing, you know? Like, whoa, that dude was a bad. He wore his gi. I was like, he looked like Ryu from Street Fighter, right? You know, rest in peace. But, you know, again, go back. That's why YouTube and social media is awesome these days. You can go back and be like, what is this? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it can work. It's just, it really depends on the practitioner.
And I think, and Hackelman, I'm just to quote Hackelman, Hackelman's always saying the same thing. A lot of people misquote Hackelman saying he hates forms. Right. And one of the things he's just saying, and one of the strongest arguments he keeps repeating over and over and over, this conversation comes up, is when he talks about Wonderboy Thompson, Lloyd Machida, to some extent, even GSP and Boss Rutten. These guys, especially the first two guys I mentioned, they grew up in a dojo. They had 8 hours a day. 8 hours is a long or more. That's a long time to do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. So you can, if you have all the time in the world, you can develop a lot of stuff. You can become a better martial artist because you can't, what you can't do, you can't hit the bag for 8 hours. You can't do that. You can. You can if you want. You can spar for 8 hours if you want. If you want, I wouldn't recommend it. It's almost like you're going to have to do some form. You're going to have to do some soft training in there. You can't 8 hour hard train. That's why even UFC fighters switch their training modalities 6 weeks before a fight to switch into that mode of more hard training. But when they stop, they go back into whatever it is. There's always a soft element, whether it's yoga, whether it's marathon, triathlon, mm-hmm. There's always an element that has nothing to do with martial arts that keeps your body fit. Now, that's where kata comes in. When I had my knee injury, I couldn't hit the bag. My leg was out. I couldn't roll. I couldn't do anything. This happens to BJ. If you do BJJ, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
So you get a knee injury. It's gonna happen. It's not if, it's when. And when it does happen, the first thing they'll tell you is like, oh, you should just come to class and just watch. Because that's all you can do. Because you can't risk it. You can't risk pulling that tendon again and spending another 6 months recovering it. So what you end up doing is being stuck. And this is a place where kata has its place. Within a month of my torn ACL, and also within a month of my torn LCL, I've torn my knee twice, both knees. Within a month of the injury, I was able to do modified kata. I couldn't even do, another thing. Kata became a test for me because I couldn't do squats. I couldn't do anything with my legs. I could do upper body stuff. I couldn't do anything with my legs. I had to be careful when doing upper body stuff that my legs wouldn't go out when I'm pulling the weights around the weight room. So kata became a measure of where my body was in the healing process. Because I knew, hey, if I can kind of hold a cat. When I first tried, I remember I was so pissed. I was in the gym by myself. I'm still teaching classes and I'm limping around coaching people, having my head student run classes. And then on my own, in the morning, instead of doing my regular morning routine, I get there and start doing Palama number one. Palama number one in my system opens up with a cat stance. I was able to do our salute that we do in Koju Kembo, where we punch the fist and do a front kick. I was able to do that lightly, okay. And then I was able to kind of go into a modified horse stance. But the second I took that cat stance, the first time I tried it, my knee went and I fell on the ground. And I was just sitting there going, fuck, in the mat. Not yet. Too soon. So I will say for me personally, kata had its place in that sense. As soon as I was able to get through the form, it was because I figured, hey, if I can't do the form, I have no business even trying to step in front of that bag. I have no business putting on my boxing gloves and even trying to do boxing drills if I can't hold a fucking cat stance. So that's all I got to say.
Class. Well, that's the thing. You use the form to strengthen your body, to get it back into shape. And that's what I said. It's good moving exercise. You try to different levels of squatting stances and cat stances, different stances. And you begin to strengthen and to elongate muscles and to get that suppleness back in the joints and all that good stuff. And after a while, you're back to full practice. It just takes some time. But that's what I say the major use, those things going back, those exercises, you know, different ways to move the body. And it became something more later on. I love forms. I was decent at doing them. They don't hold a practical application in fighting unless you modify them based off a practical technique. You can, there's a couple martial arts, I won't name the system right now, but it's based off the Shotokan and all that good stuff that we were talking about with GSP and all that good stuff. And they used, a lot of those systems, they don't punch to the face, they punch to the body and so on and so forth, but they use stand-up boxing, you know, kickboxing type techniques. And they move that into a form of forms. They've created forms around those techniques so that you can practice with a resisting partner. You know, just like jiu-jitsu, you don't want to always go into jiu-jitsu constantly seeing who the better person is. You want to go into jiu-jitsu passive most of the time. And then as time progresses, you should go harder and harder. But then you go back. The mainstay of most of your practice should be soft, in a sense, active practice. You know, there is some resistance. There's quite a bit of resistance, but it's not going balls out 100 miles an hour all the time. And I think that's the practical portion of even jiu-jitsu with forms. You're running through techniques, the rubber guard. You're doing the techniques over and over again, repetition, going through entire movements. You go through the same thing with the spider guard. You go through the same thing with De La Riva. You know, there are different types of guards that you go through that are like forms, you know, and as you get better and better with them, you add more pressure and you become better and the timing gets better as you become better with. There's a place for it. OK, but if you try to practice, even in jiu-jitsu, you try to in a real fight to do spider guard or rubber guard and you do it at the same pace that you do in practice, you're going to get your head beat in. You're going to get punched in the face. You're going to get your guard passed, you know? So, yeah, there's a practical way of doing everything. There's a place for just about everything. I think most of the time when people are talking about things is these wild, fanciful movements. But again, early was brought up about capoeira. If you go, people can go onto YouTube right now and look up capoeira sparring. They now have sparring matches with capoeira. And you can watch them, and some of the things that they can pull off is amazing. Will they work in every situation? Probably not, but it's so awkward and different from other people fight practically, what we think is practical fighting, that you'll get your head ripped off if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Hey, Plot, I noticed you're wearing Air Force. Are you surf?
26 years, retired.
Oh, wow. Thank you for your service, sir.
Oh, no, I loved every second of it. Thank you.
Right on. But you know what? That brings me to a point is slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And I'm glad we're talking about that because you know what? It's all about tightening those little bolts. And again, if you do your forms slow and tight with a partner, right, and you're feeding him stuff, you're tightening everything up. You're closing those doors. So I really tell my guys to slow. I mean, they're full of vinegar and piss. They're all like 16, 17 years old. They want to rush everything. But when they realize, I'm like, you guys are investing right now. Slow the hell down and feel it. because all that punching and stuff going super fast, you guys are opening yourself up. So I tell my guys to slow down, right? And I got this from another podcast when they were talking about the guys in Thailand. All those guys in Thailand go at a really slow pace. It's not, no one's trying to win a championship. We are working together. You're getting me better. I'm feeding you energy. You know, I'm catching, I'm giving you different looks, you know, and that's what it could be like. And then they could be like, hey man, maybe this inward block would work, or maybe this little cat stance might work there. It can work if you mess around and lab it. Now, speaking of us Kaj guys, right? Hey, we got Bobby Cerrone, world champion point fighter out there doing like damaging Bellator. You got Venom Page in the UFC now. So we have all these guys that practice forms that are using their traditional martial arts in now the functional MMA arena, and they're making it work. So it can happen, but it really depends on who the coach is and who the athlete is. And if they, again, I always talk about understanding. Do you understand that if I throw a punch at you from a high level amateur boxer, not even a pro, you know how to block it? Because you know what? These amateurs and these kids, they start young, and they have guys that are doing the same reps over and over and over again. And later on, the power comes. And then if they get hurt, I have this one pro basketball player right now. He's hurt, and he's training boxing with me because he wants to learn how boxing and basketball can coexist. So now I'm like, this is the form. He goes, oh man, hey, that's the same as basketball. The mechanics are the same. It's all the same. If you really think about it, it really is. You like right now, my guys are about to play soccer. All the footwork is ridiculous, but man, I could see how my Kaj and the soccer footwork can be added here. And I think that's why these guys are the way they are right now, because I give them a different way to think, you know? So again, there's a lot of good things that forms can do. I really think it is, but it better be functional. And then you better lab it to make sure it works. Because if it doesn't, throw it out. Just like Bruce said, just like Cijo said, if it works, put it in there. If it doesn't, throw it out. Same concept, you know? But I think we have to keep everything super simple. Now, you know, there's a 25-step form. I'm like, that's where I start to freeze up. I'm like, man, that don't feel right. I don't like to turn my back. And, you know, I don't want to turn my back to this quad guy. He'll get my punch and get chucked the hell out. So, and again, my idea now is I'm always preparing for 3-on-1, 2-on-1, coming out the bathroom. And I think that's where I'm at. You know, I got to be ready for being twitchy and quick and reach for my weapon if I have to. My form is good. I drill this. So I'm here, open my jacket. There's my blade. And I drill that. I'm ready to go. It's like I work on a flinch. I don't care if, you know, you come out the bathroom, you're going to flinch. Or you're going to step back. One of those little attributes is going to happen. Now, unless you're like, you see that coming before, you know, ambushes happen out here in the Bay all the time. So that's where I'm at. I don't know if I went off on a tangent or that was just another podcast.
That was great, man. That was good. Thank you for tangent.
It's a good tangent. So what's happening though is that now, and we're getting too close to our wrap up, and I know Mickey's got to go coach right now. And so like, I gotta go coach too. so while we're talking about that, we're kind of moving away from kata versus Bullshido to kata versus real shit, right? Bullshido to real shit. Now we're talking about more real shit. And we're also talking about an element that a lot of people online don't even think about. We are three coaches talking about, three coaches and martial arts instructors. I'm sure between all three, I've been doing this for about 20 years, I'm sure y'all are on the same boat, about 20 years or more of martial arts practice. A lot of people that come in online have never done martial arts. A lot of this new generation of MMA fans have brought in just that, fans. There's a lot of people who are fans of football, never played football. They're fans. So what's happening is there's an element to this. As an instructor running programs, you are a different person than the person who's just training in martial arts. I'm running programs. I have to think about kids. And one thing I will say, and we'll wrap up, I'll wrap up with this comment, and y'all can wrap up right now too. Katas are great for kids programs. And I was talking to Bobby Serrano Jr., not the third, not the one who's in Bellator, but his coach. And he was saying the same thing. I love bringing in the traditional way of doing Kajikembo for kids. It works very well for them. And then as they turn into teenagers, we start adapting more into MMA and more adapting into the what's happening right now in the martial arts world. But I love that original. And you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we're talking about just basic, what you would look at as an adult as basic karate basics, a person throwing a front kick, a person throwing a roundhouse kick in the air and they're in the monkey line, something Bruce Lee talked shit about. They're all following each other, doing the same move, going hiya. And to you, it might sound silly, but I'll tell you right now, as a person who runs programs, kids are more attracted to that. It's harder to get a kid to understand how to escape full mount and how to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Even Brazilian jiu-jitsu program, yeah, struggling with this. There's some programs that are doing better, and a lot of them are incorporating games. Because if you try to teach a child the way you teach an adult Brazilian jiu-jitsu, they will not have the patience for it. So they have to hide it in weird games, like here, tug of war with the belt, sumo. Instead of doing judo, we're going to put a little circle. Who could push the person out of the circle? We have now kind of left. But if you do that to an adult, think about that. You have an adult. I'm here to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. All right, we're going to do tug of war. Fuck you. I came here for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. We didn't tug of war with a belt, right? But you got to remember, when you're an instructor, you got to think about kids. And I still feel that the original Kajikembo program is awesome for kids. Kids, right now, majority of the people doing the traditional are kids and people who want to do martial arts but aren't ready to have someone punch them in the face. They're not ready for that. Like, I have a professional model who's doing Kajikembo right now. And I offered her. She came in with her boyfriend. I'm like, hey, do you want to do Kajikembo? I have also Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We have kickboxing. She looked at Kajikembo. She's like, I like the Kajikembo program because it looks like there's this element of a lot of practice and a little bit of contact at the end, right? So that's how I run my program. Everybody runs their program differently. But for the Kajikembo program, my family class, as I call it, it's not a lot of kata, a little bit of kata, a little bit of karate basics, and then a little bit of practical application, really protective of the kids and the people that are there. Not that I'm not protective in jiu-jitsu and I'm not protective of my guys in MMA. It's just they want to bang. So I gotta keep that in mind. All right. That's my wrap up. Claude. Or no, Mickey, because Mickey's gotta go right now. Go, Mickey.
Oh yeah.
What's your wrap up?
So guys, yeah. You know, speaking of the kids and everything, I always ask, when you come into my gym, it's just like coming to a restaurant. What are you looking for? This is my menu. What are you looking for? I ask them that question. And, you know, I will offer forms. I do. Right now I'm a boxing coach. We do shadow box and we have to shadow box. And those are forms to me. And you know what? These guys don't know what I'm showing. I show them a little bit of Kajin in there. My boxing is way different than some other traditional person's boxing, because I come from a martial arts background, and I also do a lot of Filipino martial arts, and they'll see a lot of like, hey man, that's a little different in how you throw your jab. Yeah, everything is different in how I do things. And I think that's what separates me from other coaches, because I think from that point of view. But as far as the kids are concerned, what is your kid having trouble with? A lot of my kids have ADHD. They're all right, well, sit at attention. That's perfect for you know, kids that have, you know, those kind of issues. You know what I mean? Like, they're having folks at school. Hey, there's, you know, anything. You know, I just have them try and focus. I don't know. There's Bushido and forms and whatnot. To me, I'm not going to tell if you're moving funny out there. I mean, more power to you, man. Like, if you think your system, like you look like you're on crack works, then man, and you believe it and that's your world, I'm not going to stand there and say, you know, your shit doesn't work, because your students that you help beat on that lets you beat on them, it makes you feel good. But, Hey, that's all I got for that. Claude, what you got?
Oh, man. I've been doing the martial arts a long time, man. I started when I was like 5 years old. My dad was military. So every couple of years we moved, I got a new martial art. All of the Kajikim went in after. Kickbox for a few years. Here's my thing. Kids programs, absolutely. Kids programs, the entire Kajikim curriculum, it's great for you know, attention. It's great to work on physical development, mental toughness, focus, all of that. Forms, I think, benefit children a lot for their dexterity, balance, and all that good stuff. Just fully, completely developing.
Right.
As far as adults, it all depends on what they're looking for, you know? And if you're running commercial school, if you're running programs, as a coach, instructor, or whatever, you have to be prepared to offer that. The Bushido part of it is thinking that forms equate to realistic, right now in your face, technique and skill in fighting. And that's where you have to reevaluate yourself. If you think, and this is anybody, any instructor, I may get, some people may get mad at me for this, but that's where you have to reevaluate yourself. And as a coach, as an instructor, what you're teaching. And like you said, Angelo, you can't lie to yourself. You know if you're teaching crap. You know if you're teaching something that's going to get somebody hurt. But there's form in everything. Everything has some type of form in everything. But you have to drill it down, and you have to spend some time on your art and yourself and understand what you're teaching, and that it's practical based on what your customer, what the person that comes to you, your student comes to you and says, this is what I want. That's my two cents.
Yeah. And I'm always saying, just be honest.
Yeah.
Well, ask me, why do you have forms in here? And because it's to link us to the greater Kajikembo community. Look, people do haka in New Zealand. Every single rugby team has a haka, a traditional Polynesian dance. Traditional Polynesian dancing has absolutely nothing to do with rugby. Nothing. Zero. Zero. Nothing. Why do they do that? Because that's what connects them to the other rugby teams in New Zealand. That's it. Doesn't have to. And that's all I need is just, I believe in transparency. That's it. Just be honest with yourself, be honest with your students. Students ask me that. Hey, I don't go in along. You got an hour. You got an hour to teach a class. You don't have an hour for a history lesson. I don't got time to be like Sijo and the five founders and this style and that style and Hawaii. And I don't got time for that. Right. But right. I can sum it up in one quick sentence. It hooks us up to the greater Kajikembo community. It's the traditional aspect. These are the, as Hackleman even put it, as much shit as he talks about forms and punch tricks, he does. He still says those are the proprietary techniques of Kajikembo. If that's the style that you're doing, that's going to be, if that's the style, that's the style we do, that's why we do it. That's it. I don't need to tell you it's going to make you a better fighter. I don't need to do that. I don't even got to go there. If you feel that way later, great. If you don't, whatever. Like that's why I do it. And when you're honest like that with someone, they don't resist you as much.
Right.
They don't sit there and be like, well, my hand's down, I'm open. Right? Because we already talked about this wasn't about that. So that's it. I want to thank everyone for watching Social Jello with Angelo podcast. I want to thank Mickey Lopez for coming out before coaching. I want to thank myself for coming out before coaching. I want to thank Claude for coming out before. I don't know if he's coaching, but we'll just say he is.
Not tonight, man. It's late.
I want to thank Claude for taking the time to come out late at night, you know, and share his views on this. And for the rest of you, one Social Jello episode once a week now. And thank you for taking the time to check this out. Catch y'all next time.